Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success. As a newly promoted leader, how will you set, communicate, and reinforce standards in accordance with the code of ethics and our duty to build public trust and confidence? So that's a potential question that you could reasonably anticipate or predict, or a version of that question, given what's happening in the news right now today. So what I mean by that is, and I've alluded to these things before, if you are a promotion candidate, you're expected to be well-read, well-informed, certainly around issues affecting policing. And violence against women and girls is a great big priority. And some of the behaviours that are being reported in the media at the moment, both externally going on with offenders and internally in the organisation, and by that I mean there's a few professional standards heads who are busy at the moment with their units investigating police behaviour, and police officers are held to higher standards of behaviour than members of the public. So internal misbehaviour, internal misconduct is expected to be identified and rooted out and dealt with, and guess who? By you, as a newly promoted individual, whether that's a sergeant or inspector. So, you know, you could think of the sergeant's role, and I often espouse the sergeant's role in a nutshell as being to set, communicate, and reinforce standards, and for inspectors to inspect the standards that sergeants set, communicate, and reinforce. So there's a little process there around that. But when you look at what's happening at the moment in the news, you can reasonably predict promotion board questions like that. So if you're someone who's looking to get promoted, you're going to get a new team, how will you deal with inappropriate behaviours? How will you deal with behaviours in accordance with values that are not aligned to the organisation? Tell the board about it. So you can kind of use those questions to practice and rehearse and get you into the zone, but you can reasonably expect those kind of questions to be asked. And why? Because you are seeking to step into a volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous world, and policing reflects that. So, you know, it's not easy, and you're expected to lead for people, performance and change, and you are the generation. You are the generation that's going to be responsible for dealing with this kind of problem solving in the organisation so that the culture does change. And yes, years ago it used to be about, you know, banter and standards of behaviour that perhaps are less acceptable today. And so don't be surprised if those issues are screened and there's some pinch points, if you like, through promotion selection processes, whether that's through presentations, presenting on this issue. So violence against women and girls, for instance, what do you know about the College of Policing's framework for that at the moment? What are the priorities around that? And how do you see your teams supporting the priority of violence against women and girls? And what do you think about violence on women against women and girls within the organisation? Does it happen? How do you know? How well informed are you about it? I can tell you, according to the news, it is happening. There's a fresh article in there today about officers being investigated for violence against women and girls. So to bring it back to the point, it will surface at some stage on promotion boards, because just as you look at things like Peel reports, and if you go on my site ranksuccess.co.uk, you'll see blogs about that I've written, and if you go on my YouTube videos like this, you can see videos around the priorities that forces are tackling and having to deal with, areas for improvement or areas of concern, and guess what, they often crop up on promotion boards. So have a think about this. What are you using to inform yourself around policing issues? What are the challenges facing policing at the moment? What do you think they will be in the next couple of years, 2 to 5 years? Because those are the issues you'll be dealing with. Those are the issues you will be leading through. And you know, if you need more help and support with this, don't forget you can download a digital promotion toolkit from ranksuccess.co.uk. There's a promotion masterclass video in that with me suited and booted talking you through the issues that you can face, expect to face on a promotion selection process. But just thinking about what's going on in the news at the moment, bring it back to that question. As a newly promoted leader, how will you set, communicate, and reinforce standards in accordance with the code of ethics to build public trust and confidence? I'll be back with another short video shortly, and until then, take care and stay safe. Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and whether you noticed or not, recently the National Police Chiefs Council, NPCC, published a report, quite a wide-ranging report, in relation to violence against women and girls. So I'll put the link to the stuff I'm talking about here below this video, and I'll also be doing a blog in which this video will be embedded, so there'll be a lot more covered in the blog, but essentially it relates to violence against women and girls, and the media have obviously picked up on criticizing the police, very predictable angle, because it's not particularly good reading, certainly in terms of numbers. Forces are responding defensively. Cops are fed up with being lambasted again. And you know, it's, for me, it's just worth bypassing all the media reports and even the National Police Chiefs Council's kind of summary of force responses. The devil's in the detail. And there's a statistics sheet that's published on the NPCC's website as well. And just let's take a moment. It relates to a 6-month period, and it talks about 508,000 crimes against women and girls in total in 6 months between October 21 and March 22. 500,000 crimes against women and girls. And that includes 85 homicides, 1,800 assaults with injury on female police officers, 1,200 modern slavery offences. And some of the stats in there that jump out here, overall just 6% resulted in a charge, and 38% had suspects but the victim didn't support. So there's lots and lots of issues in with those statistics, but the statistics one was the where the devil's in the detail. It's really worth you having a look, and particularly if you're going for promotion, this is the kind of thing you really need to have your kind of finger on the pulse with, because it lends itself to promotion board questions, presentations and scenarios. How will you, as a newly promoted leader, ensure that we're delivering the best service we can to victims of violence and violence against women and girls offences? Tell us a bit about it. What do you know about it? What's your plan? So inspectors develop and implement plans and identify and manage operational threats and risks. Bring it all back to the context of going for promotion. But I saw this and I thought, well, there's various themes here that cut across, you know, cross-cutting on your leadership if you're going for a promotion opportunity. So around investigation, the questions can come at you from investigation. I recently did a blog on that in relation to the process of investigation, from instigation of these crimes and all crimes really, through to the initial investigation, through to the investigative evaluation of these crimes, and arriving at the first decision point at which you can start to make a decision around whether that crime's going to go on for further investigation. Now, I also accept there's a real world out there, and I saw a tweet yesterday by a detective sergeant who alluded to four people on the team, and they had 140 crimes between them to investigate. I mean, it's cloud cuckoo land. Such are the pressures on officers today. This 500,000 crimes are landing on someone's desk to investigate, to take lines of inquiry on, to finalise if there's no further evidence. And as I said earlier on, 38% of these crimes, 500,000 of them, had suspects but the victim didn't support. So whilst some of these issues are quite complex in relation to it, and it's only the first kind of report by NPCC on this, I think the Met have already said, the Commissioner's already said he's going to report again on stats for the Met by March. You can pick up from this that there's probably some key performance indicators coming your way in terms of performance. So coming back to some of the investigative and leadership issues that you may face in a promotion selection process, So the 6% of these offences resulted in charge, and that includes rapes. And I've also done a previous video on that in relation to the recent review of rape investigations. And I'll embed that in the blog, which this video is embedded in as well. So again, a key focus around standards of investigation. You can't do too much around the volume of it yourself if you're looking at this issue right now. But in terms of standards, that's where the questions are going to come at, because promotion boards, promotion panels are going to want to be reassured that if you're going to put yourself forward to lead a team, then in relation to team performance, you're all over the investigation process and standards, because essentially the role of a sergeant, if we're talking about sergeants, supervisors and managers of investigations, is to set, communicate and reinforce standards around investigations. So whilst the kind of volume of crime might go up and down, and what lands on the desks and workloads of your individuals, your team members, might change, those standards by which you are applying your skills as an investigator need to be kept at the best level, and you'll be asked about it, so that will be tested. So how will you deliver the best victim support? How will you try and encourage victims to go through the criminal justice process? It's very, very difficult. I've got the easy job of pitching these questions to you. It's for you to do the thinking around that, because you need to reassure and persuade and influence all leadership skills, a promotion panel, that you will apply yourself to the highest standards possible within the confines of what you're operating to. Performance questions, so effectiveness and results. I talked about key performance indicators that might be likely to be coming to your force as a result of this. Clearly, there's a massive interest in this. 500,000 crimes in just 6 months. So there's going to be a key focus around this. Are you aware of that? Can you get ahead of the curve on that in relation to your force's performance, your areas performance? How are you doing, and how are you, what are your thoughts and ideas about how you can get better? Well-being, one of the issues in there is that there's 1,800 assaults on female constables with injury, so that's quite a high statistic for a 6 month period of time. What are the risks around that in relation to your staff? What support's available? There are issues around pay for that as well, and I'll be doing a separate blog in relation to pay shortly. And professional standards. So the police service, as a result of this, quite rightly, is gearing itself up to expel misogynists. There's standards around that. You'll be tested in relation to that. You'll be asked around the code of ethics. So what does the code of ethics mean to you? How does the code of ethics support you as a leader in doing your job? And don't be surprised if you get some really difficult scenarios around managing staff, because there's a whole culture that is got no place in policing at the moment, and that's reflected in some of these stats, and also all the issues have gone on in the media and that are well known in terms of cases, in terms of violence against women by police officers, and the culture of violence against women and girls within policing itself. So there's a whole issue around that. What are your thoughts on that? You know, if you're asked to kind of talk a bit about that, what do you know about it at the moment? What's your ideas around setting standards? So professional standards teams will be very busy in relation to that, reviewing previous offences and previous incidents of misconduct in the force, and there's a whole operation going to be going on, I'm sure, nationwide by police forces to drive up standards around that, and to get out the bad apples, the very few bad apples that are in policing, but that disproportionately affect the culture and certainly the public perception and trust and confidence in policing. So consider those presentation scenarios. I mean, it is a massive issue, and policing itself cannot deal with this on its own. But that's not the question for you on a promotion selection process. You will be asked for your thoughts around this, your leadership actions around this, and reports like this, and specifically the stats around this, can really help you get a grip of it, get an overview of it, so that you can respond to interview questions as well as answering them. And just add that value and show the board that you are a well-informed, well-prepared candidate, and that you can reassure them that you will attack this issue with energy, drive, enthusiasm and focus the best you can, so that the public can rest assured that you are the right person to promote at that time. So yes, it's a massive issue. It cuts across lots of areas, shocking figures, but it all comes down basically to your workloads, your teams, your approach to investigations, your knowledge around those, as well as the wider issues that are affecting policing at the moment. Okay, so I will be doing a larger blog on this, and it will be embedding this video and a couple of others. Again, support with your promotion is available at ranksuccess.co.uk, which is my site. You'll also find free blogs at policepromotion.blog, and you can download, if you want to just hit the ground running with effective promotion preparation for your promotion opportunity, you can go to ranksuccess.co.uk and just download the digital bespoke toolkit for you if you're going for sergeant, or if you're going for inspector and chief inspector, where all these things are really important in terms of performance and your overview and knowledge. Then you can download those from my site anytime you wish. Okay, I'll be back with another video in due course, and until then, take care and stay safe. Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and this is another broadcast in relation to news items of topical interest. So if you're going for promotion for Sergeant, Inspector, Chief Inspector, really interesting article in The Guardian today. So an article written by a journalist, Melissa Deans, and it's in relation to Elizabeth Stanko, OBE, who is a criminologist who has been commissioned by the Home Office over the last couple of years to investigate and to look into an unprecedented investigation into why the police have been failing so badly to tackle sexual violence. But is there any chance of fixing a system that seems so broken, is the question. And the reason I've kind of raised this today is because, as I've alluded to before, on promotion boards, you will often be able to predict questions, not necessarily the exact ones, of course, but you may well be able to predict questions that are topical and relevant and current and part of the zeitgeist, if you like, some of the challenges facing policing currently and in the years to come. And historically, clearly, the standards of investigation in relation to rape and sexual violence by police has been variable, shall we say. And in this article here, I was really interested because it's a long read, so it's a great resource for you to get an overview on this, in addition, over and above to what your force are doing. So when I talk about things that appear in the news, this is one. The Peel assessments are another, which I've done videos and blogs on. You may well, in relation to areas of concern or areas for improvement, you may well find questions arising in relation to those issues, and you can plan and prepare for them. It's more difficult to plan and prepare for them if you haven't done the research, if you haven't raised your awareness. Then as you raise your awareness of these things by staying well briefed, well read, well informed, you're far better equipped to prevail in a promotion selection process, which is essentially a professional conversation between yourself and a interview panel. And you know, they will expect that you will have done some level of preparation for that, and this is one of those articles. So it's titled "I Know Where the Bodies Are Buried," and it's one woman's mission to change how the police investigate rape. That's a kind of homage to Hilary Mantel's book "Where the Bodies Are Buried," and it alludes to some of the politics and the shenanigans that have gone on as part of her interactions with the police and organisations over a period of time. But the interesting thing here is, so I'll read the first paragraph. In September 2021, the criminologist Betsy Stanko went into the Metropolitan Force to work out why they weren't catching rapists. The previous year, less than 3% of rapes reported to the Met had resulted in charges being brought. In 2021, that percentage almost halved. The Home Office had given Stanko a mandate to force the Met, and so this is in relation to the Metropolitan Police to start with, but it also covers other forces, So they gave a mandate to force the Met to open its files, and now she and her team of 54 academics, 47 of them women, all of them scholars of sexual violence, gained access to everything. So tens of thousands of case files covering the previous 4 years, shift observations, video recorded interviews, conversations with officers at every rank and victims of these offences. So a pretty comprehensive investigation. The Home Office awarded £6.6 million and the operation was called Operation Soteria Bluestone, which is after the Greek goddess of safety. They focused on five forces, but there are other forces here that have volunteered. And all I can do is just encourage you, as an overview ahead of a promotion selection process, to look at the historical perspective, the current perspective of where forces are, and particularly your force, because they were able to look at lots and lots of things. So the interviews, the recorded rape cases, they watched videos with the complainants and the suspects, they convened 15 focus groups, they observed police training courses, they conducted their own interviews with victim survivors and investigators, and at the end of it, all that was shared with the Met senior leaders and the mayor's office. So out of that comes a whole load of relevant, meaningful information for you as a promotion candidate to really start getting to grips with, because one of the issues and the topics that frequently arise across many forces and historically has been standards of investigation. And I've recently done some blogs around that and the fact that the College of Policing are revisiting the process of investigation, and that's what this article has also got some meaningful content in relation to the process of investigation. But I've done blogs, as I've said before, around that, so you can read those in conjunction with this today. But this article is particularly interesting for you in terms of a brief and some of those issues around the process that are that is highlighted or recommended here for the police to look at, certainly now and going forward over the next few months. Some of the key takeaways that I take away from this article are, you know, first of all, it's a good history, it's a good overview, it's very insightful, it's quite shocking in relation to some of the language, the attitudes and the interactions through this investigation with various people, the gaps that are still there today to fill, the resourcing issue, because there's no escaping, this needs money. The government to put 6.6 million into it, it's going to need a whole load more to support those officers that are working, as alluded to here, 29 hour shifts with overtime to get the investigations they can get, you know, really conscientious, focused professional investigators working in this difficult area, investigating rapes and sexual offences, to get those cases to court, and there's not enough of them, they're not well enough trained. So unsurprisingly, there's some really good recommendations that have come out here to get policing to relook at it, to revisit it, and you are going to be the leaders, managers and supervisors of the next generation going forward who will take this and these working practices as this kind of consolidates and evolves through investigative practice. And so some of those points here that I take away from this very, very quickly are to investigate the suspect, not the victim, and at least do both, because they found that there was a focus on investigating the victim disproportionately to the suspect. So that's the first point of a suggested process for investigation. Target repeat offenders. And there is a new role of a disruption officer, which has had some success, that's alluded to here in terms of arresting rapists. So if you don't know what a disruption officer is as part of your strategy as an investigator, then have a look at it. This article alludes to it, and your force may well be able to give you more, as will the College of Policing. Look after victims. I mean, you know, policing does look after victims, but not as good as it should be, not as consistently as it could do. And they allude to in this article it being a, you know, 50% of victims drop the charge. It's a poorly understood area. So, you know, all of this is complex in terms of getting to where you want to be, which is a greater proportion of cases brought to charge, and ideally more convictions for this. And they argue that there's a scope for more restorative justice, as in New Zealand and Canada. So there's some food for thought there. And this is what I was interested to see. Train and support more specialist officers. There is never enough. And whilst finite resources are a fact of life, you can't argue this and not provide the relevant training, resources and equipment for officers to have that resilience as well, to raise the game and to ensure that those standards of investigation are consistent in this highly contentious and complex area. Improved data stored on investigations, particularly those investigations that don't result in a charge. So better intelligence there. They make a comment there around policing is an analog force stuck in the 20th century. And policing has been behind the curve with a lot of this, with technology. And the other point there is to improve officers' skills in examining phone and social and media records. So again, lots of issues around there, around how you do that effectively, how you manage and process digital evidence, the balance of rights and the evidential and investigative needs with that. So that's a complex area, and I know that's something that policing's wrestling with at the moment. They talk and make an observation, which is one that resonates, which is cultural transformation is a long game in policing and generally. And there is a need here for some other qualities. So in rape investigations, a need for greater curiosity. So alluding perhaps to more aspects of the investigative mindset. A need for greater empathy, and that's linked to the competency and values framework, emotional intelligence. And empathy is one of the four components of emotional intelligence. So they're arguing for more of that there. And intelligence, so more of the not only intelligent approaches to investigation, but also from perhaps from those improved data pictures around, you know, repeat offenders and the process of investigation. So there's some kind of backlog and record of it. And why is all this important? Well, as I alluded to at the beginning, you may well face a promotion board question directly off the back of this and the work that your force is putting in place to make things better. And one of the things that I've got here, one of the draft ones that I just thought of, and they are draft ones, and I said you can predict them, so try predicting them. As a newly promoted leader and a supervisor of investigations, how will you ensure that your team are investigating to the high standards required, and especially around support for vulnerable victims? So whilst you might not get asked that particular question, that's a typical question, that's a fair question, because again, how do you think of yourself? You may well be going for inspector and chief inspector, so you are managing teams who are managing investigations, if you like, supervising investigations, but you are the overviewer, the oversight of it. So what does it mean to you? Another alternative around that, what do you believe are some of the challenges faced by investigators investigating rape and sexual offences at the moment, and what will your approach be to supporting your teams to meet the standards required? So again, heavy on this theme here, heavy on the theme of the standards of investigation. So the effective investigation of crime is a driver of public confidence. So starting to think holistically around this helps you set yourself up for potential questions, and then seeing where it all sits, really, just being informed and having a higher degree of awareness around this, and gives you a confidence to talk. You've got more ideas, more insights around it. If you put your finger on the pulse, you know, you're nearer to where you need to be in terms of readiness for a promotion process. And just think about now about where all of this sits in terms of the investigative process. So there's some added ingredients, some elements, components there that are alluded to. But in terms of the wider process, of investigation, and whether it's the old one under core investigative doctrine, or whether it's the one that the College of Policing have thrown an invite out recently to you on consultation on the new process. You know, coming back to the beginning as investigators, you've got those initial stages of instigation when a report or crime is received. Then you've got initial investigation, so golden hour, fast track actions, all those things. And then you come to that first key decision point, really, for supervisors of investigations, for managers, which is investigative evaluation. So I see a lot of this sitting there in those three stages. Where do you see it sitting? And how will you get up to spec on all of this in time for you to be able to, you know, impress a promotion board and to let them see that you're well informed and well read? Okay, I'm not going to say any more. I just thought that that was a really interesting long read article in The Guardian. I don't read The Guardian normally, but it came up in front of me on social media and I had a look at it, a bit of a deeper dive, and I'm popping back up again if you like to surface and to say to you, if you haven't seen this, have a look at it. I'll put the link to the article below this video to help you find it and get up to spec and get briefed. But wherever you are on your promotion journey, if you want to download a digital promotion toolkit and just hit the ground running with your effective preparation for a promotion opportunity, you can do that on my site, ranksuccess.co.uk, anytime, a promotion masterclass and digital guides that are bespoke to the rank that you're going for. Okay, I'll be back with another video in due course. Until then, take care and stay safe.